staring out the window as the rain comes pouring down. My heart soars as he rounds the bend. He's always right on time. He greets me with candy and a big smile on his face. An angel on my doorstep in this ungodly place. Then he drives me to Sunday school, where they teach about God's grace. I learned that I'm a sinner, but I don't have to die that way. 'Cause Jesus shed his blood for me on Calvary one day. When it's time to go back home, I'm wishing I could stay. But my Lord will protect me as I trust him and obey. For my Savior lives within me. I was lost, but now I'm saved. And I thank God that Jesus died for little kids like us. In his wisdom, he had planned someone who cared enough. A tender heart, soft-spoken, gentle with his touch. Thank you, Lord, for sending me the captain of the bus. I still remember singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. So grateful for the peace I found and the joy that fills my soul. So if you're lost and searching, confused and all alone, the shepherd came to give you life if only you will come. Our Father sends his servants to make his presence known. And I thank God that Jesus died for little kids like us. In his wisdom, he had planned someone who cared enough. A tender heart, soft-spoken, gentle with his touch. Thank you, Lord, for sending me the captain of the bus. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, the captain of the bus.
Thank you so much. And I believe I'm on. Thank you so much. You may be seated, please. What a thrill to be here. I told Brother John when he got done, I was going to feel like a bullfrog on the freeway with his hopper broke. I really was. And I feel like a fat boy in a dodgeball game right now. I really do. And I'm so glad, though, to be with Brother John. We've come a long way together, and we've got a little ways to go yet. Somebody said, talking about John and me both, said he's got one foot in the grave. It's the one out the devil's worried about. Did you know that? And we're thanking the Lord for that. Well, the bus ministry, a wonderful thing. I've been in the bus ministry as a bus captain, bus worker, or pastor of a bus ministry, and involved with bus ministry for most of 50 years. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I praise the Lord for that. Glad that Brother John could be here. I heard he was here, and I'm looking forward to fellowship with he and Marilyn. And Amanda Angel back there, pastor's mom, and we go back a long, long ways. Bus workers are a unique breed of people. There's nobody like them in the world. I think in the foreknowledge of God, God looked down through the ages and saw the need that would be in this particular generation, and He created bus workers. And the experiences that we have are yet to be told. I sat there and lived through everything John said. I knew all of those people. I remember all of those people. And they all came back to my mind. And everything in the world he said is true. But where's the wonderful part? Even to this day, after many years since he worked that bus route, people will bring up Brother John. Brother John, the fellow with the hook, is he still, where is he now? Yeah, he used to come by our house. And many, many dozens and dozens of people were saved far beyond what he's mentioned tonight. And that's a wonderful thing. And all of the funny things that happened through the years, amazing, amazing thing. You know, my mother was from West Virginia, and some workers was up there in Possum Holler knocking on doors one time, and they knocked on the door of a house that looked like a drug dive. I mean, really. I hadn't had a speck of paint on it in a year. And they knocked on the door, and an old boy opened the door. It looked like he crawled out from under a rock somewhere. And the bus captain said, hey, is your mother home? Or no, he said, is your daddy home? No, he's in state penitentiary over in Kentucky. He ain't going to be here for a while. Well, is your mother home? No, she's in the psych ward down in Tennessee, and she won't be home for a while either. He said, well, is your little brother home? Said, no, he's in reform school down here at Charleston, and he won't be here for a while either. He said, well, is your big brother here? He said, no, he's in Harvard. And bus captain said, Harvard? He said, yeah, Harvard. He said, you mean the educational institute? Yeah, that's it. The Harvard you're thinking about, he's in Harvard. The bus captain said, that's amazing. Said, what's he studying? He said, ain't studying nothing. They're studying him. That's exactly what's going on. But anyway, I remember Brother Bobby telling, you can't get started on all this. It's the funniest things in the world. Brother Bobby Robertson, my pastor, was telling about, and that's where I started in the bus ministry years before I started the church. Marion Avenue Baptist Church started with four men and their wives, Brother John and three others and their wives. It started a church. It's been 45 years ago, Brother John. But anyway, Brother Bobby was telling me after I left there, they'd bring in boys and girls and the adults would come in the main service. That church grew to 3,000 at the apex, you know. He was telling about a lady came in. It was the spring of the year. And she came in and sat down, and she had a big coat on, had it all wrapped around her. And the longer she sat there, people sitting around her, they were going like that. And Brother Bobby said, I thought, good grief, I've never seen as many Pharisees in my life. Can't sit near somebody. Maybe she didn't take a bath. If you can stand it, just sit there. But everybody moving back and getting away from her. And what had happened was, it was spring of the year, and she got an old coat that had been stored since last fall. She had put it on that morning and come, and when she got in that warm church, all the roaches and bugs started out of it. And they were crawling out of this coat and going all up and down the pews and everywhere. And, you know, the stories never, never end. I love the story of Dr. Vineyard. He was the bus director at the First Baptist Church of Hammond when Dr. Howells was there. And Dr. Vineyard said, I was sitting there listening to Dr. Howells preach one morning, and two ladies had come in on the bus. And they were engrossed, totally engrossed in Dr. Howells preaching. He was waxing pretty dynamic that morning, as he commonly did. And I mean, hey, listen to me. Boy, he was shelling it out, you know. And these two ladies sitting there, they were about half scared to death. Their eyes was big. And he said, I saw one of them. Said she reached down in her purse, pulled out a pack of cigarettes, tapped it, put a cigarette in her mouth. Said she didn't realize what she was doing. You know, she's just a chain smoker anyway. Said she reached and got her matches, struck a match, started to strike a match, and her friend sat beside her. He came with her, glimpsed it out of her. She knocked it down out of her hand. Brother Vineyard said, rats, I was hoping she'd light it. He said, I wanted to see the smoke in the pulpit when the smoke in the pew came up. You know. Dr. House was the one who said, people walking in and out. And it made him mad. A lot of things made him mad. That was one of them. But anyway, people walking in and out, and he got ill about it. He said, I've never seen bus kids rolling here. He said, I've never seen as much walking in. And what he aimed to say was, good night. I haven't left a church service, go to a bathroom in 67 years. That's what he aimed to say. But instead, here's what he actually said. Good night. I haven't been to the bathroom in 67 years. two little bus kids on the front row when I'm standing up. That's got to be a record! Boy, you could write a book, can't you? Write a book. And so Pastor Angel called and asked me if I would bring a message to you folks. And I thought, good night. I've got another message maybe would be a little more dynamic. But I was coming back from Canada this week. We were in Nova Scotia and preaching in a church there. And was coming back, and all of a sudden the Lord gave me some impressions. I just jotted down some thoughts. And this is not so much of a message as it is a message. And so let's read a verse or two and get right into the book. Luke 14. What could be more appropriate for a bus minister than Luke 14? And I could read a lot of it here, but let's start in verse number 21. Everybody stand up, please. Everybody stand up, and we'll get right into the message. And I'll try to be brief tonight. And let's read from Luke chapter 14. And verse number 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Now let me stop right here. I don't have time to develop this, but in verses 18 through 20, we see the three excuses given by those that were bidden to the marriage feast. God the Father's inviting people to the feast of His own Son. The three that were bidden represents Israel. Christ came to be the King of the Jews. But they that were appointed to be His subjects and set up a kingdom rejected their king. And you can't have a kingdom without a king. They nailed Him to the cross. But now the invitation goes out into the streets and lanes. I believe the streets and lanes apply to the masses of people. And I believe this speaks of the great revival movements down through the centuries. And in particular to our country, the great revival movements of my day and before my day that swept across America and all through the New England states. And the last wave was down through the Southland. But then he said, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out into the streets and lanes, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I believe the bus ministry speaks of the highways and hedges. For one thing we know for sure, we have a command. Rescue the perishing and care for the dying, for Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. I got these thoughts sitting on the airplane. I jotted them down. I'll share them with you right now. The considerations of the bus ministry. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, my heart has been blessed probably more than anybody else here in this service because I sat there and lived in my heart through the experiences that Brother John has shared with us today. I watched him as he worked that route, and we saw God do great and wonderful things. And what he has mentioned has only been a sampling of what really took place. And I want to praise you, Lord, and I want to thank you for that, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Bless this service. Stir us tonight and help us, oh God. I pray that you'll bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. Well, I think, first of all, when I think about considerations of the bus ministry, I think about the consideration of God's blessings on us as individuals. Luke 14, 12 through 13, Jesus said, when you make a feast, don't call your rich neighbors, because they can recompense you. But you call the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind, and thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And I might add, you'll be recompensed down here. I've been following bus workers and watching bus workers for over half a century. And there's a few things that have come clear to me. And one of them is this. If you'll take care of all of these little children whom God loves, whom Jesus gave His precious blood for, God will take care of your children. When I think about Brother John, and it just thought come to mind as he was sharing this, he had three children. I watched him take the only day in the week he had, and he took that and gave to other people's children instead of his own. And when his own got old enough to go with him, he took them with him. And Steve was 16. He was the oldest. Joyce, your pastor's wife, was 14. And Heidi, was 9. And, of course, Steve and Joyce in the formative years there, and Heidi coming on right behind them, 9 years old. And when I consider that Steve has pastored the same church for, what now, 30 years? 35? No, more than that, 35 years or so. And I think about the two girls are both married to preachers. I cannot help but believe that God said, John, you're taking care of my little children that I loved. And if you take care of them, I'll take care of your little children. I saw him give the Saturdays he could have given to them, but he gave it to little children, and he involved them in it. And they have a burden for lost people, all three of them do, and they are wonderful, wonderful Christians. And I just, my heart overflows when I think about the way God has blessed John in so many, many ways. And he never became a rich man, but God took care of him. He took care of him, and he provided for him. And I think the personal blessings of God on us as individuals, and we'll get started in the bus ministry. And then I think about the curse of those that put their hand to the plow and turn back. And I think about one of the greatest bus captains I ever knew, Jimmy Clark. Jimmy Clark was in our home church, and I was the bus director. And Jimmy, he had an amazing ability to reach children and people. And Jimmy was young, probably in his young 30s. And he'd go out every Saturday, and my, that guy was building a bus route. And the young people was being saved. And I'll never forget when he came to me and told me, I'm going to quit the bus. I said, Jimmy, what in the world? He said, well, I'm not going to wait till my children get grown and look back and say, I took their day and gave it to somebody else. I am going to spend my Saturdays with my family. I've got two little girls, and that's what I'm going to do with them. And I'm going to spend my Saturdays with my family. I said, well, Jimmy, you need to spend time with your family, but God can help you regulate that thing. Why don't you go out on Saturday and visit some, and then in the afternoon and evening, spend some time with your family. You work a 40-hour a week, and you can have other evenings with your family and a date night with your wife. When Pastor Terry Angel was my youth director, he had arranged that from time to time the bus workers could have a Saturday off and spend it with their family. I don't know if he still does that or not. If he doesn't, you can suggest I said so, that he ought to do that. But anyway, I'm just simply saying, and so anyway, I'll never forget how grieved I was to hear Jimmy say that. Well, Jimmy did that. He quit his bus route, and he gave his family his Saturdays to his two little girls and to his wife, and it wasn't long. They were having marital troubles, and he and his wife split up, never did get back together. The girls didn't do well, and he ended up with mental troubles and ended up in a rest home, much younger than me, and passed away. And I think to myself, oh, if you'd only kept God first and keep the Lord first, there is a reward, praise the Lord, for those that were. Now, here's another aspect, and this is just scattered thoughts. I'll do the preaching tomorrow. You be here tomorrow, and you'll hear that. But I think about the financial aspect of it. In Matthew 28:19-20, the Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here's what he said, and lo, I am with you always. When God goes with you, he will bless you financially. He will bless you personally, and he will bless your church. When we started the Marion Avenue Baptist Church, we started with four men and their wives, and we had no support. Church didn't have any support. I didn't have any support. My home pastor, a wonderful fellow, loved me, but he didn't believe in preachers getting support. They ought to go out and get a job and start a church in their living room and go from there. Well, when I got to Iowa, I didn't know what I was going to do, but Brother John and Wendell Wilson and two other fellas gave me about $100 a week, I think it was, and just out of their pocket, we started the church just a few weeks after I got there. And they were the only men there, and I was the preacher, and they gave me about $100 a week. My rent was $80 a month, and I was driving a car that had been wrecked. Some people drive a car for years and never have a wreck. I drove a wreck for years and never had a car. But anyway, so I had to maintain that car, and so it was suicide. It was suicide to even start a church that way. It was suicide to even try to live with four men supporting you out of the church. And none of them were wealthy men at all. There was no rich dude in the crowd at all. And it was suicide. But on top of that, I was so ignorant. I'm glad I was. You know, ignorance can be bliss sometimes. I was so glad I didn't know any difference. The first thing we did, went right out and bought two old buses. Man, you could see the fenders flapping when they went down the road. And John started the bus route on one of them, and Wendell Wilson started on another. And then later, we got another bus, and I started one up toward Kyoto, and then I started another one up toward Wellman and so forth. And, you know, we started these buses. Not only did we not have money to run them, man, we was trying to make payment on the old building we'd bought. But, you know, to put gas in them, pay insurance. Why, you talking about, nobody told me. I have never, in my 54 years of ministry, I've never recommended anybody do what we did. But we did. I remember Donna Wilson was right across the street visiting some apartments, and an old lady over there said, well, I saw you started a church over there. Who's supporting y'all? And Donna said, well, no one. She said, no, but I mean, you got a Baptist church. Who is funding it? She said, nobody, just God. She said, but no, you don't understand. I mean, are you American Baptist, Southern Baptist, foot washing Baptist? What are you, you know? And she said, no, we're not. We're just independent Baptist church. Nobody's funding us. And this lady looked square in her eyes and says, you poor, poor people. And we were poor people, but we didn't know it. And we were too crazy to know it. And I remember when we were running 150 to 200 with about 40 drive-in. Just about 40 drive-in and a total of 200 people. Those bus kids were driving us stone crazy. We needed workers. I mean, we needed workers the worst way at all. And God began to send them in from everywhere. And, I mean, I could start naming them. They came in from everywhere. We needed usher workers. God sent us Dean McCulley to be our usher. We needed children's church workers. They came from everywhere. And not only that, God blessed us financially. I mean, I don't have time to stand here and tell you how God sponsored our ministry. $100,000 given to the church by a visitor. $100,000 given to widen the choir. These were singular gifts. $100,000 to pay off the parsonage, a place where I was living at that time. $100,000 the church raised on one Sunday, just took an offering, $100,000. A fellow walked up and said, you need a piano in this place, and you need a nice one. I said, we do, but right now is not a good time for us. He said, I'll write you a check. Wrote a check for a brand new 9-foot Grand Baldwin. That piano would cost $65,000 to $70,000 today. Just wrote a check for it. Another man heard me preaching on my vision, and he wrote us a check. The total, the sign we put down on the highway, $50,000 to $70,000 for the sign, and then we had to buy the lot it went on it, $74,000. Somebody else gave money to put the pews in the back, and somebody else gave money for the carpet. The bus ministry has been our lunch ticket. The bus ministry is the only reason the Marion Avenue Baptist Church could survive. God did not promise to bless you to build a gym, though I'm for it. And God's for it. But God's in, and God is for beautiful buildings and edifices. But I'm going to tell you something. God's heart is with those that are poor and maimed and halt and blind. And if we'll get after those, God will bless us. You don't realize what a great... Let me tell you, if you have a financial need in your church, the thing I'd say to you is, let's add another bus or let's put a third more on our bus and let's get a whole lot more rolling. Matthew 17:27, the Lord says we need some money here. You go down and catch a fish. The first fish that comes up, you'll find some money in their mouth. He didn't say go down and catch a striped bass or a rainbow trout. He said just any kind of fish will be all right. You can catch a big mouth bass. We've caught a few of those too. Caught a big mouth bass, or you can catch an old carp, an old mud-sucking carp. Just catch any kind of fish, you're going to find some money. And God will meet our needs through the bus ministry. I think about the blessings of the bus ministry. I think about the perseverance of the bus ministry. What it takes to stay a bus captain. You see, I was a bus captain for years. I understand what nobody in your church understands except the bus captain. I remember my patience being so tried so many times trying to come in with the bus. I was the bus captain on each of these routes, and then I'd find somebody to take them. And I was coming in from Kyoto one day, and Julie Sharon, Belinda Peake in the back of the bus, yelling rock and roll music, singing, because they could tell it irritated me. And I was trying to get them to shut up, and they wouldn't shut up. And they were jumping up and down, singing rock and roll music in the back of the church, and I'd put up with this for quite a while. And several Sundays, to be honest with you. And I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I broke. I'm glad I didn't smack anybody, but I broke. And I just dropped down on my knees in the middle of the bus, kids acting up like they do. I dropped down on my knees when the driver was driving. I dropped down on my knees in the middle of the aisle in the bus, threw up both hands and screamed out to God to have mercy on all of them. Scared them all to death. Just scared them to death. And I was about half in the flesh when I did it, you know. And but anyway, things got quiet, real quiet on the bus. You know, I thought about that so many times. And I thought about Julie. She was a rabble-rousing little, well, I don't know what the proper word would be, but she was. And I thought about her. And I thought about Julie came to church 11 years old, 11 years old. Little old thing was dirty as she could be, hair oily, dirt under her fingernails. Playing her daddy had gone to prison, and she came to church, and Darlene Owen took her under her wing, taught her some things little girls need to know about hygiene and about how to keep herself clean and so forth. She grew up in our church, and I think about her, and she married a boy, started coming to church, he was 11, and they served the Lord faithfully. Did you know their children grew up, went to Bible college? Did you know Stephen preached, John Stephen preached at Marion Avenue the other night. He's turned into one of the finest young preachers you ever saw in your life, their son. And he is faithful in the church, he and his wife, and serve the Lord. And I think about how you have to persevere. And I think Tim Goodwin drove the bus in one morning, and he'd had it. They got on his nerves. He parked his bus, which was about a mile from where he lived, and he got off the bus. As soon as he parked the bus, got off it and walked home and never came back. And I saw him. I saw his wife several months later, and I said, "Where's Tim? I hadn't seen." She said, "Oh, Tim committed suicide. Tim killed himself." And it takes a lot of perseverance. It takes a you got to work a bus route when you're in no mental or even spiritual condition. Sometime to work one, I went out to meet the buses and get them off one Sunday morning, and Jack Elias came and he was sitting there and he looked like he'd lost his last friend. He was one of the bus drivers. And he'd driven 30 miles to get to the church and had to go and drive another 30 before he picked up his first rider. And I said, "Jackie, how you doing?" He said, "Well, I ain't doing too good this morning." I said, "What's your problem, Jackie?" He said, "Well, my wife left me last night." I said, "Jackie, your wife?" "Yeah. And by the way, she did, never came back. They'd been married for years." He's just down, as anybody would be. I said, "Jackie, your wife left last night, and you came to drive the bus this morning?" And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Well, it's no fault of the little bus riders." And he said, "Some of them, they don't even have a daddy or a mama. And I figured some of them need somebody to love them. And I had nowhere else to go anyway. I didn't have anything else to do this morning anyway. So I just came on over to drive my bus." Boy, you gonna get on that bus in some of the darkest hours you've ever got. You're gonna wanna. I tell you who successful bus captains are. They're people that survive the quitting places. That's who they are. People that survive the quitting places. And then I'll skip over the persecutions of it. Let me mention the dangers of the bus ministry. And it's not wrecking your bus, although that could be a danger too. But I'm gonna tell you what's more dangerous than that. I was out working a bus route in City View, knocking on doors, and knocked on a fellow's door, and he came to the door. He had one leg off. He was probably 50-ish, and he had one leg off. He'd lost a leg. He had some diseases, several diseases. He had big old boil-type things all over his body. And I witnessed to him. He said, "Oh, I'm saved." He said, "I'm saved. I know the Lord." He said, "Matter of fact, I was a bus captain." Told me what church. It wasn't our church, but it was another church. I said, "Really?" And he said, yes, I was a bus captain. I was faithful in church. Man, my heart was on fire for God. I'll never forget. Those were the most wonderful days of my life. I said, well, you're in church now? No. No, I got out of church and got out of the will of God. I know I need to get back in. He said, let me tell you how it happened. I said, all right. He said, I was working the bus route. I had a burden for my boys and girls. And he said, I was making a bus call, and a little boy came down and said, Mama said she wanted to see you. Don't you miss our house because she was sick. She wanted to talk to you. And he said, I told him, son, I wouldn't miss your house. I'd get them all. And said, tell your mama I'll be up there. He said, I finished the route, and I went up there and knocked on the door, and he came to the door, and he said, Mama said she's sick and wanted to know if you could come in and talk to her. She's back here. And she's sitting down in the bed. And he said, I went back there in the bedroom, and the little boy left, and the door closed. And I don't have to tell you the rest of the story. But it was a weak, discouraging moment in his life. And that woman was not sick. She was a wicked, evil woman that had a evil plan on his life. And he said, I've been into sin, and I lost my wife, and I lost my children, and I lost my testimony, and I lost my walk with God, and I've never been back in church since, and I know I'm saved, and I need to get in church. And I know that's a bizarre case, but I know another fellow, I can call his name. He was our bus director, and one of the best bus captains in the world, back in North Carolina before I got to Iowa. And he was knocking on the door, and a young lady on the bus route said, well, come in. Come in, would you? And he came in. She said, come back here. There's something I got to show you. And the rest is history. And he meant well as you mean, when you go on your bus route. He wasn't looking for any trouble. He didn't have any premeditated intentions about sin. I'm telling you, the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box and lock the door and throw away the key for all those tricks that he played on me. And I could go on and on and tell you about tragedies in the bus ministry, but I won't do it. I'll save you the grief and the burden of mind to be so negative here at a time when we'd like to be positive. But let me just suffice it to say to you, watch yourself. Watch your back. And don't go. I don't care if she comes to the door and she says, I got a busted pipe in the kitchen. Water's flying. Can you come and help me? Say, no, ma'am. I have a rule. I have a law. I don't go in by myself into anybody's house ever. I just don't. And by the way, you don't have to do anything wrong. We live in a day and age when all you got to do is have that woman say you did, sir, and you're done. That's all you have to do. And you say, well, that's the reason I always take me a buddy with me. You be careful anyway. She could tell a lie. Listen, we live in a wicked age. There has arisen another Pharaoh that knows not God. There was a day when you couldn't get a judge in America to move against a church on anything. And now we're open prey. And you go to the door and say, well, I got my co-worker with me. I can go in. You better be careful who's at the house. You better see a man or somebody before you go in. You don't think she'd stand in a courtroom. These two men came in and they tried this and they tried that. Don't you think that there's women out there wicked enough to do that? I didn't ride in here on a load of pumpkins this afternoon. I live with horror stories from church to church and place to place. And I'm just giving you a warning. Now, love the people and knock on the doors and don't miss a one and go to the worst places and the most wicked places and the down and outer, but don't you go in unless you're talking to a man and you're a man and you know you can go in and so forth. I'm just simply saying the dangers of the bus ministry and the wisdom that it takes, and I'll skip over that. Then I think about the rewards of the bus ministry. Matthew 10:42, he that gives a cup of cold water in my name shall not lose his reward. And Mark 10:13, and they brought unto him young children. They who? I give $100 to anybody and tell them who they were. Yeah, crisp $100 bill to the first person, come up here and tell me who they were. But they were doing a greater work that day than the disciples were doing. Disciples didn't hurry to go down to the big meeting. But they, whoever they were, brought little children to Jesus. And Jesus rebuked the disciples. And he said, suffer. Do we let these children through? Let them move back. Let that little girl through. Let that little boy through right there. Let him come up here. And he set him on his lap. And he stopped the whole world. And he stopped a great evangelistic campaign that was coming up just to love those little children. And when you get to heaven, you're going to know the names of who they were that brought them to Jesus. I imagine in my lifetime I've had as much or more fruit through the bus ministry than anything in this world. Can you imagine people? Can you imagine the people that you'll see in heaven? When you get to heaven and here they come, this is, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. You came around with the bus. You knocked on my door. Can you imagine? I tell you what, you won't regret those times you left the house to come over here and meet and then go out and saw your neighbor hitching his boat to his new truck. You won't regret it. And you look back and you thought, you know, he don't know God from a hole in the backyard. Look at his house. We're three times what mine is. Got that big $35,000 boat and that $40,000 truck he's pulling it with. Spending his Saturdays having fun. And I've got gutters falling off. My pipes are leaking. My house needs painting. And my wife's been on me for 4 weeks to do 10 other things. And you think, am I insane or what's wrong with me? But you kept going and you kept going. And when you get to heaven, I think about that beautiful song, "It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus." One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. And but anyway, well, I guess no bus challenge would be effective without sharing with you a story that one of our assistant pastors shared some years ago. And I asked Brother Allen about it, if your pastor had told it or told it recently. He said, "I've never heard it, and maybe you've never heard it. But I'll tell you, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you." Brother Brian stood in our bus meeting one Saturday morning, told his story. I'll never forget it. And then he told it later. I talked to him later. Here's what he said. He said, "I was working a bus route when I was a student at BUA, Baptist University of America." And he said, "I had a bus route." And by the way, Baptist University of America Dr. Curtis Hudson was the president of the college. Okay, so this is near Forest Hills Baptist Church, Decatur, Georgia, years ago when Curtis Hudson was a pastor there. And he said, "I was working a bus route down the poor section of town," and he said, "I knocked on the door," and he said, "a boy opened the door," and said, "when he opened the door, I could look at him, and immediately I could tell he was a special needs child." And he said, when he opened the door, he said, "Hello?" He said, "Hello." He said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Willie." He said, "What your name?" He said, My name is Brother Craig." He said, "Hey, Willie, you go to church anywhere?" No, Bubba Craig, I can't go to church because I retarded. I'll just quote what he said. He said, "I retarded. I went right down here to this church, but they said I couldn't come back, because they didn't have a program for retarded children, and so I couldn't go back." He said, "Willie, let me ask you a question. When you go to church, do you behave?" "Bubba Craig, I keep my feet on the floor, and I keep my hands in my lap. I don't bother nobody. Honest, I don't. I don't touch nobody." He said, "Willie, I got news for you. We do have a special needs department at our church, and we want you to come to our church." When he said that, he said that boy spun on his heels, went running back through the house like a wild Indian. "Mama! Mama! Mama! Bubba Craig is here! He said I can ride his bus!" He promised Craig faithfully he'd be on that bus the next morning. Craig said, "I was excited to death. Said, I pulled up to get Willie. Said, when I pulled up, no Willie. Blew the horn, no Willie. Blew it again, no Willie. I thought, that rascal told me that he would ride the bus for sure this morning, but so what for a bus captain?" You hear it all the time, don't you? They'll vow their soul, they'll be there, and then, but anyway, so he said, "I was getting ready to pull off," and said, "as I started to pull off, I looked, and yonder came Willie." And by the way, same old britches, I guess he slept and pulled up over his stomach, his hair messed up, oversized shoes, his feet would turn out when he stood like a clown, you know. And he said, "here he came from behind the house, running full speed, I mean high octane moving on, I mean, listen, them big old shoes were flopping up and down, and he was running straight toward the door of the bus." And Craig said, "it hit me. If I don't open this door, he's going to run slam through it." So he sort of opened the bus door. He shot up on the bus and said, "Bubba Craig, guess what happened this morning?" He said, "you about missed the bus, Willie. That's exactly what happened." And he sat down and he pulled off and he said, "Bubba Craig, guess what happened this morning?" He said, "what happened, Willie?" Craig had saved a seat for him on the front. And because he knew that he needed to sit near the front. And he said, I set him up front where I could take care of him. He said, Brother Craig, I woke up this morning and the devil was sitting on my bedpost. He said, he was, Willie. He said, he was. And the devil said to me, Willie, you are not going to church this morning. And he said, Brother Craig, you know what I did to that rascal. He said, no, Willie, what'd you do to that rascal? He said, I just waited till the devil turned his head and I jumped out the window. That's why he was coming from behind the house. He waited for the devil. You know, that's pretty good Baptist for some of those bedside Baptists on Clicker Avenue out there on Sunday morning, wouldn't you say? But anyway, he said, man, he said, we were on the way to church. And Craig said, I was driving the bus. You know, about half the time bus captain's driver don't show or you don't have one. Said, I was driving the bus and said, I kept looking at him and said he was sitting there. And he said, all of a sudden it dawned on me, who cares for Willie? Who loves Willie? He don't have a daddy. I don't know. His mama don't have time for him. Nobody wants to be his friend. When little boys get together and divide up to play ball, nobody wants to pick Willie. He don't have anybody care for him. Said I kept looking at him. So all of a sudden my heart went out. Well, he said we were soon at the church. And I got somebody to take him to his class. Now, we're talking about a church. They were averaging 3,800 there when Dr. Curtis Hudson resigned the church to become editor of the Sword of the Lord. And he said, I got somebody to take him. He said, when church was over, said, I was counting up and I was missing one. And I thought, oh no, Willie, I forgot to have somebody take Willie and bring him from the class here. And he was thinking about those hundreds and thousands of people that were there. And he said, I thought, Lord, that kid will be on the other side of Atlanta. Somebody will hurt that kid and we'll get sued till Jesus comes. He said, I was worried sick. And said, the bus was parked parallel to the curb. Big, beautiful, octagon-shaped building. And he said, about that time I looked up and down the sidewalk, long ways down the sidewalk, I saw Willie. He was coming toward the bus at the same speed he had come around the house that morning. And he said, about time I saw him coming full speed, he said, between me and him was two of our very highly influential, wealthy ladies. And they were walking along talking with each other with their nose at a tilt, furs, diamonds, the whole outfit. He said, I just had time to say, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, boom, he hit those ladies, knocked one of them over in the shrubs, the other one in the parking lot. And he said, he shot up on the bus and said, Brother Craig, guess what happened this morning? He said, you just knocked down two of our precious ladies. That's exactly what happened. Willie, you can't, listen, good night, Willie, you can't do that. Merciful sake, son. I'm sorry, Brother Craig, I'm sorry. He said, now, for goodness sake, sit down and behave. You don't run into people and knock them down. I'm sorry, Brother Craig. He said, I pulled off, and I thought, good night. He said, I'd gone about a block, and Willie said, Brother Craig, you never did let me tell you what happened this morning. He said, well, what happened, Willie? He said, got saved. I got saved this morning. I did. I got saved. He said, that's good, Willie. He said, I looked at him again, and he said, I thought, who cares for Willie? Who loves Willie? He said, hey, Willie. How'd you like to come to church tonight? The bus run tonight? He said, no, the bus don't run, but I run. I come by and pick you up. Oh, that'd be wonderful. And on the way to church, by the way, he got baptized that night. And on the way to church, Craig said, hey, Willie, how'd you like to have a Big Mac? Oh, Brother Craig, that'd be good. But I ain't got no money. He said, Willie, I got the money. If you got the time. Oh, Brother Craig, I got a whole lot of time. That's all I've got is time. He said, we were soon pulling into the Golden Arches Supper Club. You know, McDonald's, Golden Arches Supper Club. And he said, we pulled into the Golden Arches Supper Club and said, I went in. I said, now, Willie, let's sit down right here. And I'm going to go get our food. You wait right here. He said, I went up to the counter there and the young girl behind the counter. He said, ma'am, give us two of those number ones and biggie size them. I want the largest drink, the largest fries. She said, okay. He said, he waited and she turned around, got all of this on the tray. And he said, now, ma'am, I want to give you something here to read, a little gospel tract. I want you to take this and read it, and it'll tell you how to get saved. She said, thank you, sir. He said, I picked up the tray, went over, and set it down on the table where Willie was. And he said, I was getting ready to ask the blessing. Willie said, but Brother Craig, what did you just do that lady up there? He said, oh, you mean what did I give her? Yeah. He said, well, Willie, these are little gospel tracts. Inside of here, it explains to people how they can go to heaven when they die and get saved. You know, just like you got saved this morning. He said, yeah. He said, I just give them to everybody. And the people can get saved if they read that. He said, Brother Craig, I think I could do that. He said, Willie, you think you could pass out? I know I could, but I don't have any. He said, well, you do now, son. I will give you some. He said, he gave him two or three tracts. He said, I started to bow my head. And Willie just got up. Walked right across McDonald's restaurant. Said there was a lady over there, a very large lady. Very large lady. And said he just walked up and said he took that tract, threw it down on the table and said, hello, fatso, read that. Whoa, Craig said, Willie, get over here. Get over here. Willie looked back, came back like a dog with his tail tucked between his legs. Came over and sat down and said, Willie, you can't talk to people that way. My soul, and besides, that woman's big enough to hurt us, boy. Come over here and drive us up like a cow stall. Merciful sakes, Willie, what's wrong? I saw him, Brother Craig. I was trying to do the right thing. He said, well, you was trying to do the right thing, but you sure did it in the wrong way. He said, for goodness sakes, let's pray. And Craig said, I prayed one eye on Willie and one eye on that Big Mac. And said, I prayed and said, when I got done praying, he said, now let's eat, Willie. And he said, I took a bite of my Big Mac, and I did a double take. And that lady was reading that tract. He said, I just kept eating my burger. Didn't say anything to Willie, just kept eating my burger. She kept reading that tract. Said she read it for the longest time. And said after a while, after reading it, staring at it for the longest time, she folded it up, looked on the back, dropped it down on the table, bowed her head, started praying. He said, she wasn't praying out loud, but she was praying. I could tell she was praying. Said, I said, now, Willie, this time I'm going over and speak to the lady. And you stay here this time. He said, Brother Craig, I ain't going nowhere. And he said, that's good. He said, I got up and I walked over. He said, ma'am, first thing I'd like to do is apologize for the way the boy acted. She was one of those charming, sweet old Southern mammies. She said, oh, mister, I am not offended at all. I could tell he's a special little fella. He didn't mean any harm. It was all right. He said, well, I'm so glad you had. He said, I noticed you read the little tract. Mister, I didn't just read it. I just bowed my head and asked the Lord to save me right here. She had one of those glory to God look on her faces, you know. And he said, I gave her some verses of assurance. And said, I went back and told Willie what had happened. That set Willie on fire. Boy, that set Willie on fire. Craig said, God, to make it short, God being my witness, we'd go downtown Atlanta with stacks of tracks, stacks of them, this thick. And you know those inner city transit systems, you know, you get, nobody's running them, but you get on taking people to and fro in Atlanta. And he said, we'd get on those cars for 2 or 3 hours on Saturday. And said, first thing we'd do when we'd enter a car like that, said, Willie, I'd start passing out tracts to everybody on there. And said, Willie would march up to the front of the car and said he would turn around and say, may I have your attention, please? And said, you could see all these people look and see what was happening. And they saw this boy that was obviously special needs. And they were listening. He said, millionaire, welfare, teenagers. Kids, old people, professional people, unprofessional people, all kinds of people. He said they were listening. He said, God being my witness, that boy would stand there and give the plan of salvation as clear as anybody you ever heard in your life. And said when he would get done, he would always end up this way. Now you might say I retarded, but if you die and go to hell after hearing this, you retarded. He'd always end up saying that. And he would say, now you just bow your head right now and you ask Jesus come into your heart to say, and Craig said, Pastor, he said, all over those cars, car after car, you could hear people pray. 22 people got baptized one Sunday morning at Forest Hills Baptist Church because of the efforts of that simple-minded boy and what he had done in reaching people. Does it make any difference to you? Does it make any difference to you if a soul dies in sin God has told you to win? Does it make any difference to you? Will His blood be required at your hand? Do you win the lost while you can? Do you make plain the way? Do you work while it's day? Is the Lord working daily through you? I don't know much about Brother John's financial situation. I'm sure he's got enough to eat. If I didn't think he did, I'd go down and feed him. But I know this. He's one wealthy man. And when he gets to heaven, he'll meet all those people he talked about tonight and a whole lot he didn't have time to talk about. And won't it be a wonderful thing when we get to heaven and we see the rewards of our work? Just don't give up. Stay with it. God's been using the bus ministry for half a century. He is doing it still. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'll ask the assistant here to come and take over at this time.
All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And we heard an excellent message tonight. I know the Lord spoke to your heart. He spoke to my heart. And that was a wonderful message for us to hear. And the invitation tonight is this. I'd like to invite the bus captains to come forward. And the invitation is just to pray that God would use us during this fall program. And I invite the bus workers to come forward. I invite anyone to come forward. And let's just ask God to use us in this fall program. And however the Lord spoke to your heart, you do business tonight. The piano's playing. Let's come tonight. Let's ask God to use us. Let's ask God to fill us. We know there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. God has something for each and every one of us to do. There's people on our bus route that need to be reached. There's many more young people like Willie that God could use us to reach. We need God's help and God's power more than anything else. Let's take our time tonight and ask God. Ask God for His filling. Ask God for His anointing. You can look up this way. You can go ahead and be seated. And Brother Brown, thank you so much for that message. That was such a blessing and encouragement. And that is a great, what a great message to hear right before the fall program. And just so many things that we can learn. But I hope, one of the things that stood out in his message when he talked about the blessing, how God blesses the individuals that give and that invest in the bus ministry. And like Brother John said, it's not a burden, it's a blessing. And bus workers just keep being faithful, bus captains, bus drivers. God blesses the effort, and God blesses those that serve in the bus ministry.